Today is Psalm 16. Psalm 16 is our text. The Maktam of David. Let us hear the reading of God's holy word. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied, who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I'll bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless both the preaching and hearing of your word. You would bless all who are here as we continue to worship you and desire for your feeding of us and our souls through the instruction of your holy writ. And Father, we pray that we would see Christ through your word, and that you would build us up in the faith, and that you would give the gift of faith to any who are in need of it. And so may you be glorified in the midst of the assembly of your people. May your favor be upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The good Lord provides a prayer for the dying in this psalm. Yes, those facing death have within this prayer much comfort and guidance in calling to the Lord and Savior for his goodness and seeking his rest and pleasure. One of the greatest wastes of pursuits is seeking comfort, solace in people and things of this world. If people have the wonderful gift of knowing they are near death, and the opportunity is given to them to prepare for that event, how gracious of the Lord to allow them to call upon him at that time. Yet, if they do not already know him, what would they expect? A fearful judgment? A reckoning for their sins? Perhaps they will perceive and remember messages of mercy and salvation. But this is a prayer for one who already knows the goodness of the Lord, who walks with God presently, delighting in him in their life already. And so our first point, God is everything to us. The psalmist has his trust, his faith in the Lord. In his weakness as death approaches, he calls out to the Lord to preserve him. Only the Lord can save both soul and body. Is that your profession of faith? Only Jesus Christ is your Savior. You know, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it is in part a memorial, but it is more than that. It is an aspect of worship where we do examine ourselves, we search our heart for sin and how we have lived for the Lord, how we have exercised our faith during the week. And every one of us who partakes of the bread and the wine should come to a point declaring, there is no good in me. There is nothing worthy in me of the least of God's mercies. Verse 2 is not only David's words, but every believer's words. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Your goodness, your righteousness comes from the Lord, for it originates from him. We know we have Christ for our righteousness. We are dirty, defiled. Even in the best works, sin stains and it permeates the best and worst of what we do. How beautiful the profession of faith of the saints. Lord, you are my goodness. What a privilege to sit with the saints when they are dying, to hear their words of thankfulness to God. In their humility, they do not boast of their good works. They boast of Christ and his mighty acts in our lives. They speak of his grace throughout their years, and despite their sins and their weaknesses and coming short of perfection, Jesus is always their praise and their song. And they're always bestowing their thankfulness and their joy of his perfect love, covering them and his tender care over their lives. There are so many trials in this world, brothers and sisters. There are certainly some joys we pursue, and perhaps we do not obtain them before death. That is a reality. But the greatest of joys are enjoyed for all eternity, and they begin with knowing God, to fellowship with God, and to rejoice in his worship. That never ends. Dear brothers and sisters of the faith, if you do not delight in his worship each week, when we gather together and you do not seek out fellowship with other believers when you can, then I'm afraid you are not ready for heaven. No, instead, the world is your love and comfort. You are not ready for death, for it will take you away from all your great joys. How can that be said of a child of God? Delight in praising God, sharing his word with others, praying for others, and disciple others to walk and live in the way that God has both commanded us and taught us to live, both in word and through acts of faith, ministering to others. This should bring you great joy. And so our second point here, saints, the excellent ones in God's sight. How often have you been mistreated? Perhaps greatly in the recent weeks. Have you been ignored, mocked? Have your imperfections, perhaps some learning disabilities, failures, been ridiculed, even your faith? What is your true worth and importance in this world? Perhaps you've been wondering that. You've been questioning that. Listen, read, and consider these words in verse 3. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. You are excellent. Not as the world casually uses the word excellent, but God uses words perfectly. He says you are excellent. That means you are perfectly excellent, and you will always remain excellent. It is the most excellent God who finds delight in you, yes, in your company, in your biblical worship, in your good works, for the Lord has reserved eternity to dwell with you. Do not forget, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you forevermore. At the moment of your conversion, the God you worship, the God who saves you, the God who loves you, dwells in you and works all manner of good and blessing in you and has his home in you. You are his everlasting temple. He will resurrect your body and perfect it in the resurrection. This is what we reflect upon as we approach death. What comfort, what joy, what confirmation of the Lord's everlasting love. You are the excellent ones. You are God's delight. You are His eternal joy, in other words. He has permanently put in his holy book for you to read over and over again and believe this declaration, for God cannot lie. He loves you immensely, for you are His adopted children. Since we love the Lord so much, we hate something equally as strong. We hate false worship. We despise false gods, for they rob the true God, the worship that is due to His name. We do not honor these false gods by mentioning their name of worship. We do not regard them. We do not respect them. They are not equal to our God. We reject universalism, which blasphemously says all faiths are equal, and they all worship the same God by different names. That is Satan's teaching. It is foolish. In the days of old, they would offer blood drink offerings. No, the Lord is our cup of blessing. We partake of only the Lord's Supper and not the meal of devils. We do not mix the other faiths, for there is only one name under heaven by which men can call upon to be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Psalm 23 states, our cup of blessing overflows. We can't keep up with how many blessings flow our way. Such is the bounty of God's goodness towards His people. When our body's failing and deteriorating, and our breathing becomes shorter and shorter, you still have breath of God that speaks to you these words concerning faith, as He spoke about Abraham. Romans 4, verse 20-25. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in Him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised up because of our justification. And our third point, resurrection prophesied brings fullness of joy. Now the very aged, they lose the faculties of youth, strength of body and mind, mobility, enjoyment of taste, sight, and sound. Those who are sick experience great pain and sorrow. Death is unwelcome. It is rightly spoken as the last enemy of ours. But the passing through death brings us to the greater realization of fullness of blessing, if we have saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the realization of the forgiveness of sins now brings us the fellowship with God now. Physical death delivers our soul into the immediate presence of the living God. And there comes a day soon enough for our bodies to experience the resurrection. Then you in the faith have no more association with sin or the fall. Your whole body is gloriously reconstructed, better than before, and united with your redeemed soul to perfectly and forever to dwell in the presence and fellowship of the Lord. Go back to our text, verses 5-11. O Lord, You are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I'll bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Peter utilizes a portion of this psalm to testify of the fulfillment of the gospel promise in Jesus Christ. In fact, Peter will show to us that this psalm is not about David. The Psalms of David are about Christ. David is the penman of the Holy Spirit in these psalms. So going to Acts 2 at Pentecost, verses 22 through 39, let's give our attention to what God says. It says there, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel now assuredly let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This psalm speaks of Jesus realizing all these things, and then believers benefiting from them. And so this psalm points us not to David, but to Christ. As verse 8 of our text, I have set the Lord always before me. This is Jesus' fulfillment. The glory of the Father, the will of the Father, the honor of the Father was always before the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was willing to endure the shame, the humiliation through his ministry, the pain that he suffered to bring forth the everlasting blessing and the restoration for sinners in order to fulfill his ministry. The great creator of the universe was also the great savior for sinners. Is the Lord's presence before you, brothers and sisters? Are you willing to endure all things for the glory of God? Think upon what the Lord was willing to endure to bring forth glory to himself and blessing to others. The Lord is there to help you. The Lord sees your trials. The Lord knows you need his strength in your hardships. So call upon him in the midst of your trials. The Lord was not deterred away from his difficulties, and he expects you to look to him in the midst of your trials. And in the midst of the assaults of the wicked one, he stands at your right side. And he did not despise his own shame that was put upon him, for he would be exalted in due time. And you likewise will be exalted in due time. And you will be enjoying his presence, and you will overcome this world and the curse of it. So, brothers and sisters, do you press on in your duties to glorify God? Do you live out your days here to advance both the knowledge of God and seek to bring forth blessing to those who are still in their sins, that they may be delivered from their sins by receiving the knowledge of the gospel that you may share to them? Do you seek to glorify God in all that you do? Do you put the Lord first in your workplace? Do you put the Lord first in your home? Do you put the Lord first in your conversations? Is the suffering you endure, is it worth it if it brings glory to him? This psalm prophesies of the resurrection, not of David, but of Jesus Christ. And so let's concentrate on the last two verses. 10:11, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Jesus overcame death. His body did not see corruption. In that tomb, he is the Holy One. Jesus is the way, the life, the path to eternal life. As I mentioned, verse 8, the Lord is at your right hand here. At your right hand is the Lord, his pleasure. Christ and God is your everlasting pleasure, saints. Rejoice that you have a God in your Savior. You have a compassionate God. You have a companion in your God. He leads you through death, for he overcame death himself. He paid the penalty for sin, and he had the mastery over sin. He paid all that there is to pay for each and every one of your sins. And now Paul quotes this psalm in his preaching in Acts 13, verses 32 through 39. Remember that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. As we know that he overcame death on our behalf, we know that we likewise will overcome death in our own resurrection experience. And so as he's preaching to his fellow Jews the promise of the Messiah and Jesus the fulfillment of that promise, in Acts 13, starting with verse 32, and we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, and that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he has raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore he also says in another psalm, and this is where he quotes Psalm 16, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, afterward, he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. At the end of the Christian life, we have to accept the end of the physical life that we have been experiencing. For the Lord has given us a time to expire of that physical life and our time on this earth. But His love is everlasting. And at the end of this physical life, the believer enjoys a greater degree of peace often than ever before. And the most joy is often experienced at the end of life. And endless thankfulness and fullness of love for the work and a life that is done in Jesus on our behalf is often expressed by believers on their deathbed. Oh, make sure that you have that assurance of faith now, that forgiveness of sin is realized. Know that you are justified by faith in Christ, and that His perfect life is accomplished for you, that His perfection and righteousness is imputed to you, and that is your assurance. Obtain that forgiveness of sin by obtaining Christ, and do not rest today until you know by faith that you have obtained it. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, may you bless us with that great assurance that is revealed to us through this psalm that you give to your saints, and that we have that assurance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the love of the Father through the works of Christ and applied by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit that dwells in your people and the confirmation of your word that cannot be broken. And so, Lord, may we meditate upon these precious truths again and again and share them with others, that others may have hope in the risen Christ. Help us, Lord, to share that good news of the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen.